chapter number 40. Exodus chapter 40. I was kind of meditating and praying about what the Lord had me doing. I guess about a year ago, last year when I was reading my Bible through, I came across this text, and God gave me this thought. And as I was praying about tonight, He just put this back before my face. So I want to give you something from these few verses. Exodus chapter 40. There's a lot of pages turning. That's Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 40. I hope I'm preaching tonight. I feel like I might be in a little bit more mischievous mood. But if you have, if you found that stand in honor of the reading the Word of God, I had to keep looking at my wife, so I'll behave. Exodus chapter number 40. I guess I better behave. I never know who's watching on the internet. My mom or the preacher might be watching. Exodus chapter 40 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may be ministers unto me in the priest's office. And their anointing shall surely be an everlasting anointing, an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations." Thus did Moses, according to all the Lord commanded him, so did he. You can be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for Jesus tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for these folks that have come out. Lord, I pray that you just help us tonight. You know, you know who was going to be here. You knew who was going to be preaching. And Lord, I pray that you'd just take this time, and as we open up the Word of God, I pray you'd open up my mind and my heart, Lord, to be totally surrendered to you. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me. I just want to be your mouthpiece tonight. I pray that you'd speak through me. I pray that you'd move in this service. I pray for your power and for your touch. I pray you'd help folks to be able to hear and receive the Word of God. Because, Lord, if you don't implant this seed, it's just going to go out into the air. So I pray, God, that you'd move. I pray, God, that you'd meet every need. And, Lord, if there's one here tonight that's never truly been saved, I pray that the Spirit of God would deal with their hearts and show them the need and save them before it's too late. I pray you'd challenge your people. Lord, may we leave here wanting to do more for you. May we leave here wanting to love you more and serve you more. And we'll praise you for what you do. Now, Lord, we pray for our pastors. He's away. I pray, God, your hand to be upon him wherever he is tonight. Lord, if by chance he's preaching somewhere where he's at church, I pray, God, you'd fill him with the Holy Ghost and use him. If he's not, Lord, I pray you'd just feed him and fill him up as he listens to someone else. And we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, when we come to this, I know it obviously sounds like I just stopped in the middle of something that was going on. But what's happened is they're finished preparing the tabernacle. And now it's come time to start preparing the people. And they bring these men that are going to be priests before the Lord and prepare them to serve. Now, there is a relevance to this to us. One, obviously, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So there is some symbolism that applies to us, but there's some applications that I look and I see this as New Testament Christianity, but there's a word that shows up here a couple of times. The word is minister. That minister, the word minister, simply means to serve. When you got saved, you signed up to serve. When you knelt and you prayed and somebody showed you the Romans road, they ran you by Romans 10:9, where it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord. And when you got saved and you made him Lord of your life, you made him ruler. And when you made him ruler, that puts you in the position of subjection and servant. So you became a servant to the Lord. So whether or not you're faithful is one thing, but if you're saved, you are to be a servant of the Lord. Now, when the Lord had these men to come, there was certain things he wanted done to them because the Lord put demands. Listen, the Lord don't settle for just anything. We feel like in the day that we live, that when there's so many lost people and feel like there's so much junk going on in the name of Christianity and people don't seem to live right and honor the Lord with their lives, well, God will just have to settle. I want to tell you, that's not the case. God still uses holy vessels and clean living people to serve him. He doesn't settle. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28 says that we may serve God acceptably. Now, I want God's approval on what I do. I want God's blessing on what I do for him, but if I'm going to have that blessing, I'm going to have to meet up to his approval. And as I look at these scriptures tonight, I see that There's a way. It just gives a little pattern to live up to God's approval, to serve Him and be the priesthood and the New Testament that we can be. Now, when we look at this, I know it may look like just a set of rules and standards. Remember, these aren't just rules and demands. They're needs in our lives. If you want to be a healthy Christian, if you want to be a fruitful Christian, I believe there's some of these things that we'll find that are just plain in these scriptures that'll show up in their lives. So if you want to meet these demands of God to be a good and acceptable servant, there's a few things you'll find. The first thing I want you to look at these men, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water." They washed these men. They took them and however it was, they bathed and then they washed them before they put that new set of clothes on them. But you know, as a child of God or as a man, before you can ever serve the Lord, you've got to be washed. I mentioned a while ago, when you got saved, you became a servant. That's when you became worthy to become a servant of God, was when God cleaned you up as a sinner. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." I'm glad that I have been washed in the red, rich, royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad that when God saved me, He lifted me up out of the pit I was in and He cleaned me up. I've been washed and made clean in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad. Thank God He does that. But we were washed as a sinner, but that makes us a candidate. But God just doesn't clean us up as sinners. I'm glad that God can keep us clean as saints. Why do we need to be clean as saints? One reason we need to be clean as saints is because of our surroundings. Just because of the world that we live in, we need that cleansing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of when the Lord took those disciples aside in John chapter 13 and He put that apron around Himself and He washed those disciples' feet. Why did those disciples need to be clean? Remember, Peter said, "Well, Lord, not just my feet, wash all of me." He said, "Peter, all of you don't need to be washed. It's that's touched the world." I said, "Brother Tim, what do you mean by that?" Another example of that would be Lot over in 2 Peter 2, talking about how Lot daily vexed his righteous soul with the conversation of the wicked there in Sodom. Maybe it's like this. Have you ever been somewhere? It might have been walking around in a mall, going into a particular store. It might have been going into a restaurant or going into a gas station somewhere or just anywhere. And you can look back, you went in, when you came out, you just felt dirty. It may not have been that there was something maybe really bad going on. It might have been the crowd that was in there. It ain't about you being better than them. It's about the spirit that's upon them. It might have been about some music that was been blaring. It might have been about some language going on. But you just come out and you thought, "Man, I feel dirty." You know, kind of like when you go in the store and you come out smelling like a cigarette. You didn't smoke a cigarette. But boy, you sure smelled like you'd been smoking them. But you get that, and boy, you just, what do you do? Boy, you want to get right back up there close to Jesus. Now you say, "Well, brother, I ain't felt that in a long time." It might be because you've not felt clean in a long time. You usually don't recognize it. You know, when I was little, I didn't care if I bathed every day or not. I'd go 3 or 4 days and I'd feel just fine. Well, I may have, I don't know. I might have been back in the Saturday night bath days, I don't know. But I tell you what, man, I might shower twice a day. Now, I don't like it. I'm not a grease monkey. I'm not a dirt rat. I don't like to be wet, salty, stinky, man. I like to be clean, and man, I ain't afraid to use a shower, amen? And I like to be clean. That same essence, we as children of God, we ought to like to be clean. Boy, we ought to like to be at any moment. Hey, be ready at any moment. You might have an opportunity to snuggle up next to Jesus. Now, I don't want to stop and call time out, man, because it's on His time. But we're clean but just because of our surroundings, but we also need to be clean as saints because of our sin. I'm glad to, I know that when I got saved, I'm not sinless now. Praise God, I can sin less. But still, we must deal with sin in our lives. Sin doesn't affect the fact whether we're a son of God, but it affects that fellowship with the Lord. Hey, you say, "Well, brother, it maybe don't matter that much." You know, if you've got sin in your life, your prayers won't even be heard. And the psalmist said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me."
over in Peter, Paul was addressing that husband and wife. Man, if a man's been treating his wife right, the Lord's not going to hear his prayers. Now, I don't particularly like that one, but that's just life. So if I can't pray, boy, how do I serve God? How do I witness? How do I lead my family? How do I lead the choir? How do I preach? How do I try to help somebody if I can't pray? I've got no reservoir to draw wisdom and power from. So that tells me I need to be clean. I need to be washed so that I can serve God. But I'm glad there's a place we can get washed. Amen? I'm glad he said in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and he's just. Well, we missed the first part of that verse a whole lot, but I said he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like that verse just a couple verses up. 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from the sins we did before we got saved. Cleanseth us for the sins that we did after we got saved. Oh, sir, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. I want to remind you, be clean. I wish we could live sinless. I wish I could say that there was a point of maturity in our lives that we could get to. Man, we turn the chapter and shut the door on sin and sing free at last. But the problem is, I'm still in the process of sanctification in my life. Hey, I've been justified, saved from the penalty of sin. I've been sanctified, being saved from the power of sin. But one day I'll be glorified and be saved from the presence of sin. But until then, I'll make God stir our hearts, make us hungry, want to be clean, want to be right with God. Don't have every sin that you do, that's what he died for. May God give us a vision and give us an understanding, just a hatred and a distaste and a disdain for sin that would just cause we want to honor the Lord. I want to be approved. And if that's there, it's not going to be approved. Amen. Let's move on. Not only were they cleansed, but the next thing we see in verse 13 and 14, it says, and thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats. Now I want to remind some of that. Verse 14 puts me in mind of this. Man, salvation is all inclusive. Service of the Lord is all inclusive. There's a couple spots, though, that's exclusive. Some of you looking at me kind of funny. Then you need to go look at what 2 Timothy chapter 3 about that pastor and that deacon to serve in those spots, those offices. I mean, there's some qualifications that's got to be met, so that can be exclusive. But that's only two offices. Everything else is wide open for any man that'll let God clean him, any man that'll let God clothe him. These other things I'm about to mention to you tonight. What a blessing it is to be able to serve the Lord. Well, I tell you what, sometimes people get the idea that it's just a bunch of rules and regulations. No. And I'll hit on that some more in just a minute. What a joy. Hey, I think about these young people. Got to go out and do some things for the Lord last week. They got a taste of something that they're never going to get over. What stirred them up? They've been serving God. They've been doing something for the Lord. Amen? But let's look at this. I mentioned they were clothed. When I think about that clothing, I think about that coat. I mean, in the New Testament, obviously, you're putting on a coat and clothing. It has to do with justification. I believe in this passage of Scripture, it represents some things in a man's life. When I think of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, his father Jacob, boy, loved Joseph above all of his brethren. He was the son of his true love. And he gave him a coat of many colors. And you see, there was something to having that coat. Boy, when those men saw that coat, they knew that he wasn't like them. They knew that he was at a different level, at a different rank than they were because he had that coat. What did it represent? Obviously, one, it represents a calling. In this passage that we're looking at, it represents a calling. You realize that you're chosen by God to be where you are tonight? It's not an accident that you're at Gateway Baptist Church. Do you know, I don't understand it, but it's obviously not God's design that everybody go to the closest church. Now, what if that happened? Let me ask them, how many of you drove by church to get to Gateway tonight? Raise your hand. Did anybody not drive by church to get to Gateway tonight? Hey, man, Willie, you and the Maccabees and the Emerys and Sister Nadine have a good time at church tonight. Boy, wouldn't that make for an interesting congregation tonight? But what you've got to realize, God's got a plan. Boy, when he put this church together, when he put the body of Christ together, he put it together like a body and put it together like a building. 2 Timothy 1:9 talks about he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to his own purposes, but according to his own purposes and his grace. God has got a plan. God's got a reason for you to be here. I mentioned a while ago that the church was like a body or like a building. We had a man that went to church here that had a heart transplant. Now, when his heart went bad and they had to get a transplant, they just didn't say, first one comes, call us. No, only there had to be something compatible to his body. And boy, God, not just anybody can join Gateway. It's not about your class. It's not about your color or anything else. It's about God's plan and God's purposes. Is it not amazing to you that God could plan it so that in the late 1800s, he could send a missionary to Kenya to send us a member here in the 21st century? Now tell me, God doesn't have a plan. I mean, God's got a reason for you to be here. And if that's the case, if it is so much of God's plan for you to be a part of this building. Now think about this body part again. Now, my body can function without my arm. But boy, my right arm, but my handwriting is going to drastically go bad. I mean, there's going to be a problem there. I'm going to have a disability, so I'm not going to be able to function to my fullest because I'm missing part of the body. And people start jumping in and out of the boat and in and out of the house of God. Hey, we're missing part of the body. Sometimes it's not about going to another church. Sometimes it's just about not being here. It's like a building. What if we came in this church tonight and we don't need that piece of sheetrock. We can take that off. That window over there, we don't need that. Now, it's going to start taking its toll. Tell you what, when God's body is where it's got all the parts, boy, you talk about a picture of health and can function and can go. Boy, when God's building's got all the pieces in it, boy, what glory it brings to his name. Hey, if it's that important, if it's that important, that obvious how God's got this thing laid out, how important is it for you to contribute to where God's put you? Now, I'm not just talking about finance, but yeah, you ought to tithe. You ought to tithe regardless of the economy. You ought to give God his part. Hey, you're a whole lot safer with your 90% than you are with his 100%. You better trust God. I believe that. God will make the ends meet. But you ought to contribute like that, but you need to contribute with your faith. I want to remind you, you covenanted with this church when you stood down here. Preacher, come down here, this microphone. You made a covenant. You made a promise to this church. You made a promise you'd be here. You made a promise you'd uphold the standards of this church. I mean, you look at a covenant. You sat through that new convert church. You made a promise. I made a promise. I mean, I basically stood there and said, I promise I'll contribute to this church. But some people just don't have a clue. But you made a promise that you contribute to this place. You say, well, just think what it used to be. Well, are you what you used to be? So I ain't getting out of it what I used to. Or are you making deposits? Tell you what, I can go the first of the month when I get my paycheck and I can drop it in the bank. And I can just keep making withdrawals. When it's gone, there ain't nothing to draw out. Well, I ain't getting nothing out of the bank no more, brother. Yeah, I just ain't gotten nothing out of the last few days. Well, brother, it's deposit time. That's simple but true. Hey, it's just not delegated to the pastor and the staff. Man, I mean contribute, man. Contribute. You contribute in prayer. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can contribute. It's just not about teaching a Sunday school class or being seen. Boy, that being seen is the hard part, man. But boy, you can contribute. But it represents a calling, but also that clothing represents an authority. You remember when Peter came to Jesus and they said, whom do men say that I am, Peter? And said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said, yeah, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But we as children of God will have authority in our lives. I was just thinking a little earlier today about that authority. Where are some places that we have authority? You know what? We have authority when it comes to the Great Commission. Nobody else in the world outside the local church has the authority to carry out the Great Commission. Whether we're going out here and we're knocking on the door, or whether me and Bill's going down to a lockdown or in maximum security prison. Man, if it's talking through a glass trying to holler at him, so that's stupid. I have the authority, praise God, to look at that man and tell him there's a God in heaven that loves him and paid the price for his sins. I have that authority upon me because of what the Lord did. Because that clothing he put on me, put it on, wear it. Talked about adorning the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Put your coat on. Get out of your rags. Get out of your chains. Put that coat of God's favor on you and walk in the authority of God. I've got it when it comes to claiming. Brother Critcher sent me some stuff to copy for camp. I'm going to let y'all in on a secret, okay? But you can't tell you no. The theme verse for Bible camp is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Well, you know what I learned from that? I can. Tell you why. That's my promise to claim. That's my God. That's His word to me, and I can claim that promise. Boy, it's time to stand on some things. You know, I can rejoice in the fact that He said, if I go away, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. I can rejoice. That promise is for me. I can claim that. I have the authority to claim that. Well, you're being boastful when you say these things. You're being boastful when you say you'll meet your loved ones in heaven. You know, sir. I'm just speaking with the authority that God has given me in His word. But you know, I've got some other authority when it comes to casting down. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll read that to you, because if I try to quote that, I'll really jumble that up. Give Brother Kenny a microphone. He's good at quoting that. You know it's bad when you got your scripture wrote down and you marked the wrong one. Is that 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Brother Kenny? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. There it is. For though I walk with verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Well, I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 where Paul talked about one that fighteth, not as one that fighteth the air. You realize when you're in prayer, when you're going before the Lord, you're not shadow boxing. You've got that authority on you. You may not always see what's going on in your prayers. My wife got something we're praying for, some folks that are dear to us going through a crisis in their life. Boy, it looks hopeless. Sometimes it don't seem like God's doing anything. But you know, we can't see behind the scenes. We can't see that spiritual side. Well, brother, can you pray against that work of the devil? Yes, sir, I can. Yes, sir, I can. I've been given authority of God to do so. And I can stand in that authority because of that clothing that we can have from the Lord. But then not only we see they were clothed, but look at verse number 15. Verse number 15 says this, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father. Now I tell you what, I like that. I really didn't think about that until I read it just now. I'm glad what daddy can get, Junior can get. Amen? Amen? Isn't it good you got something you can pass down to your kids? Well, how's that young one ever going to make it? Same way daddy made it, amen? On the grace of God and living for Jesus. But they were anointed. Obviously, the oil always speaks of the Holy Ghost. You know what the Holy Ghost does in our lives? Obviously, when you got saved, He indwells you. The Bible says, if we have not the Spirit, we're none of His. Every man that's saved has the Spirit of God in you. And just to remind you, everywhere you go, everything you say, everything you hear, He's there. Don't forget that. You never go alone. But He indwells us. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on us, but don't just indwell us, but He infills us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, obviously, that indwelling is a birthmark. But that infilling is that where God gives us to be fruitful. Remember He talks about the fruits of the Spirit, a man that's full of the Holy Ghost to bear fruit. Man's full of the Holy Ghost, but it just doesn't infill us. But thank God He enables us. I'm glad there's something special for those tasks that come your way that's bigger than you and outside of your ability. I'm glad that God has got something for you in those times. People say, well, I can't witness that, man. I'm not smart enough. Boy, there's one that'll enable you if you allow Him to put that anointing on you. But it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Paul mentioned praying for him in Ephesians 6, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, I was thinking this afternoon about old Stephen, Acts chapter 8. Stephen was a full of the Holy Ghost. Remember, and I believe it's Acts 6, he said, seek out those men filled with the Holy Ghost. And Philip was one, and Stephen was one. He had stood before his brethren, man, he preached the gospel to them, man. He told them the truth, and they didn't like it. They got mad, you know, they wound up stoning Stephen. But before Stephen died, know the last thing he said about Stephen? He said, being filled with the Holy Ghost, he looked up to heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you what, if God can enable a man there, if God can empower a man there, where can't He empower you? Now listen, I want to say this on the flip side of this thing, the blessing of it. But I want to tell you what, there's a necessity of it. Boy, how dare I, how dare you, how dare any of us step up in a position of a place of leadership. Hey, if you're in a Sunday school class, if you're in this choir, lady, come up, some folks come up the other day to look at the church. We stood right there and she said, do you have a praise team? I said, right there. That's our praise team. And you're leading in praise when you're up here. I'm leading you, but you're leading them when you stand and sing a solo. And you know what you need? You need the touch of God. Well, you ever heard somebody sing? They really didn't sing that good, but every time they sung, there's just something to it. That's the something. That's that. That's it. That you ever heard that? You ever been in a meeting and two preachers will preach? The first one get up and preach, he'll give you a nice little thought, and the other one get up and... there's just something about Him. There's a peculiarity about them. Boy, the Bible talks about us. I said that royal priesthood says we're a peculiar people. Boy, that's what makes us attractive as children of God. That the world can't explain. And see, the world's traded all that in. They're not looking for the unexplainable. They're looking for the show and the entertainment. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I've talked to young men already this week talking about how things are going to church and are getting a little bit of this come as you are and just do what you have to. That same lady stood there and talked about all these kids coming to this church to get saved. I said, are they? I said, are they getting saved? Do you know what touches men? Not their emotion, the power of the Holy Ghost. And boy, when this place is in order and the song leader gets up full of the Holy Ghost, and the choir gets up and full of the Holy Ghost and enabling, and that special singer, that special group gets up with the touch of God, and it just keeps feeding. And then that man of God gets in, steps right out of the throne room into the pulpit, full of God preaching. What kind of effects that going to have on people? That don't run people off. Boy, that's that water. That's they sit there and that's the what they want. I've been in church all my life. There's a 16-year-old boy. I went to church as a lost boy, and there's some people there had something on them. And for the first time in my life, it wasn't just about not going to hell. Hey, I want a taste of that. I want to drink at that fountain. I want to find where they got that, and I want a belly full of it. And praise God, He said, like we taught the kids in Bible school, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow sprinkles. Rivers! Hey, praise God, I'm glad that there's something to this thing. I don't have to walk in my own. I just don't go through the motions. I'm not waiting to hear a sound so I can bow towards a Mecca three times a day. I'm not waiting for an opportunity to go pay alms. Praise God, I can live for Him, clothed by Him, cleansed by Him, enabled by Him. But don't stop there. There was one more thing. Verse 13, one more time. It says, so thou shalt put upon Aaron in the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him that he may minister. Now that word sanctify means to set apart. Now I'm going to do some of the Baptist favorite preaching in the world just for a few minutes. We'll be done. But that's basically the equivalent to our New Testament separation. Why is it, Brother Gary, when you say separation, you feel the need to kind of, when you're in the pulpit, you ever felt that? But Listen, don't let that scare you. Do you know why separation scares you so bad? Because it's always done backwards. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. The Bible says in verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate." Let's look at verse 16. "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Boy, that's a blessing of separation right there. "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, separate means just to mark off by boundaries. And we need boundaries in our lives. But see, here's the problem where separation's backwards. Look what he said. Look, I'm going to show you something real, real profound, real theological, real deep. I mean, just look at this thing. "Wherefore, come out from among them." Now, I want to illustrate this. Caleb, stand up. Now, I'm going to say two words to you, okay? You have to move. But I need you to just, you'll know what to do until you do. But just remember, don't mess up my illustration. You're going to be in my cabin and camping. You're going to be in the weather protection. All right. Go. How do you go? Okay, well, how do you, okay, come. Now that was interesting. When I said go, he just went wherever. When I said come, he moved towards me. He said, you didn't mess it up, you're safe. You know what he said in that scripture? He said, come out from among them, be separate. Now see what's happened over the years. Why people having standards has got dogged and got a bad reputation is because they didn't come, they didn't go towards God, they just goed. Yeah. What they did is they got them a bucket load of standards. You like that terminology, goed? It fits right there. Goed, goat. It's all in the same category. But they just got a bunch of standards. Throwed away their britches, women throwed away their britches, and the show throwed away their shorts, some of them throwed away their makeup and throwed away their colored shirts and their cowboy boots and their wire-rimmed glasses. I mean, they threw them out. Bless God, I'm separated because they made a move away from the world. Well, which side of the world did they move from? Did they move on the God side or the other side? You understand where I'm coming from? He said, come. Now look, I am not talking down on standards. You need to have some standards. You remember this. I know that you're not justified before God by your works. But man don't see you inside, so you're going to have to do some works to be justified before man. All right? And we won't do no blood and guts right there or nothing. But here's the deal. If you want to be separated in your life, make a move towards God. He said in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. And you know what's going to happen when you draw nigh to God? You ever heard the word consecration? There's a neat way to explain consecration, okay? It's like drawing a big circle, okay? Draw you a big circle. This works real good when you're in the woods. But draw you a big circle. And the only thing in that circle is you and God, okay? And what you do in that circle, you kick everything out of there except you and God. And when you make that move towards God, your stuff will start falling off. And see what's happened. You'll be in love with Jesus, getting close to Him. You'll be able to love that crowd instead of looking at them through your standards like a Pharisee, how sorry they are. Now that's biblical separation. That doesn't change the standard. That just changes the heart and attitude. And we just get separated backwards. Because man, there's a blessing involved in that. Separate to, separate from. Now look, so we get so worried sometimes about what should do this or shouldn't do that. It just becomes a list of demands. Can I fulfill it? Can you imagine living under those ceremonial laws in the Old Testament? I couldn't remember them, let alone live by them. But we start worrying about the do's and the don'ts. Listen, this is not a set of rules. I said a while ago, demands to tie you down. It's a set of things to bless you. Get back to our text. And Exodus chapter 40. And I want you to go down to verse 34. Because here's what we're after. Here's why we want to meet these demands he's mentioned to this priesthood. Verse 34.
Then, verse 33 says, they reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gates. So Moses finished the work. Then, after all that, after the tabernacle had been prepared and the people had been prepared, a cloud covered the tent of the congregation and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That's what we want. That's the great equalizer, man. More than an equalizer, brother. That's the overcomer. That's what we want. We want that approval. We want that touch and power of God in our lives. You want to minister? You want to serve? Just line up with God's demands. I tell you what, when you get close to Him, none of that stuff matters. Those things that hold you so much right now, I just can't let that go. Man, when you try to get close to the Lord, nothing else matters. Everything just gets dim and loses its value when you start trying to live for the Lord. I challenge you tonight. Take your place. Take your spot in the service of the Lord and in a relationship with the Lord. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Jeff, if you'll get us a song tonight. I appreciate the liberty. And I always want to be grateful for folks that listen. I appreciate that. But just with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not asking anybody to raise your hand or anything, but I want you to be focused on you. I don't want you to be distracted by me or folks that are moving. Take a look where you are with God. You know what's expected of you being a member of a church. Are you at least doing what's expected of you of the Lord? Are you doing what you ought to do for God? Is your life count for the Lord? You know what? It can. It can count. It can count for the Lord. And it can count in other people's lives. We've got a prayer list back here. I can still lay it on my seat full of names. And a lot of them have been on there ever since I've been here. And I know that people don't get saved on that. I know God does a work. But just be sure that you're not the one in the way of that one on the list because you're unfaithfulness and the fact you're not serving the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and you just do what God have you do tonight. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your liberty tonight. I pray you just take these words. I pray you just help folks to take them to heart. And I pray you, Lord, give me grace, Lord. I know that this is going to come at me in just a few days, Lord. This is one of these messages, Lord, that I want to pay for. But, Lord, I want to go for you. I want to go for God. It's my desire to live for you and serve you. I pray, God, you'd take this service. I pray that you'd help folks just to be obedient to you. And we'll praise you so much for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.